You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes and Dave Feschuk from the Toronto Star. Amin Elhassan from ESPN will join us in about 5 minutes, and we get his take on what's up with Kawhi Leonard, because no one really knows what's up with Kawhi Leonard.
Nobody knows but Uncle Dennis.
Uncle Dennis, you got to believe. I mean, he's on the inner circle, or he's a part of the inner circle. Like, my mind has been racing for weeks. I mean, it's been on, like, hyper speed the past 2 or 3 days. It's not healthy. Like, I'm constantly looking at my phone waiting for some sort of an update. I got to find out what's going on with Kawhi.
You think it's not healthy for you? How about Lewenberg? He's basically set up a cot outside the Sports Center studio.
Hasn't left.
He can't leave.
He's not allowed to leave. He was supposed to fly to Vegas for Summer League tomorrow. They said, that's not happening.
He's like a doctor on call. He's sleeping in the hospital.
Yeah.
I mean, no life and death matters at hand here, but it's nearly life and death when it comes to sports. It's sports life and death.
It is sports life or death. This
it's
is as big as it gets
life
right
or
now.
Death, as you said. It's either you're going to win the title again or you don't have a freaking chance to win the title
Changes
again.
Changes everything for the Raptors.
Yeah.
Everything for the Raptors and the Clippers. Doesn't change anything for the Lakers. Nothing. The Lakers, what I mean by that is their brand and who they are. The Lakers, they were Showtime, right? They had Kareem. They had Jerry West. They've had everyone come through there. If Kawhi goes there, he's not even in the top 10 Lakers of all time.
Right. Another reason not to go there.
I would think.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if it's all about winning titles, this is where you can wrap your head around any possible option. If it's only about winning titles, you can understand where he'd say, teaming up with LeBron and Anthony Davis gives me a pretty good shot.
Yeah.
Probably a better shot than this current roster here in Toronto.
Oh, I would say so.
Not much better. I don't think much better. Because the Raps are coming back with this whole band, and I think Danny Green will probably jump back on the bandwagon as well.
Wouldn't doubt it.
I think the East is weaker than the West.
Yeah, because to me, people haven't discussed that enough. Like, Milwaukee's been diminished with Malcolm Brogdon leaving. Philly's been diminished hugely with Jimmy Butler hightailing out of there from Miami.
J.J. Redick, too.
J.J. Redick doesn't help. And, so those two teams, those are the big obstacles to get over. And they're both weakened in this offseason.
Yes, Kevin Durant's in the East, but he's not playing next year.
He's not playing.
Like, people considering Brooklyn a legitimate option in the East, they're not.
Not next year.
No. So, Amin Elhassan will join us here in a moment. David Pagnotta, who's from the fourth period, connected guy in the hockey world. Like, he's had some scoops over the past couple of years. He just sent out a tweet. This is going to cause a bit of a stir, I think, in Toronto. Increased chatter, at least one team is very seriously considering presenting Mitch Marner with an offer sheet. Unclear on timing. If it happens, of course, Marner would have to sign it. And if he does, the Leafs will have to make a decision. But it is something to watch as talks with Toronto continue. What do you make of that?
Hey, well, look.
What do we make of that?
When you really break that down, look, I agree. Dave Pagnotta knows what he's talking about. Been around a long time, has had some scoops. But really, there's been teams seriously considering offer sheets to Mitch Marner for quite some time. There's no doubt about that. There's a reason why every hockey insider in the business has been dropping that nugget since when? September?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's real. Like, teams were seriously considering it. They're weighing the idea of, if we offer sheet this kid, is it worth the four first-round picks? Would he actually sign the offer sheet? They've been doing that kind of due diligence of figuring out, does this kid have
the
guts?
That's an easy one to figure out, though.
It is. It's like one call.
You call the agent.
It's a text.
If we offer this, is he going to take it or not?
You're right.
That's an easy one to figure out, whether or not he'd sign it or not.
Right. So
what you can't figure out is, will the Leafs match it?
Well, you can get close to figuring it out, though. I mean, you got to believe that
if you're going to make him the highest paid player in the league, they're not going to match.
No question. No question. They can't match.
They can't.
I mean, you could. I mean, they could shed more salary and make that fit. You can always, if we've learned anything in the past handful of years, you can always shed more salary.
It's not technically they can't. It's based on principle. I don't think they will.
Right. I think at that point, it's sayonara. Mm-hmm. And I think Kyle Dubas has attempted to lay the groundwork for that moment if it does happen in some of the things he has said. But you're right. It's intriguing. Anything to do with Marner, anything to do with this Leafs team as they try and fill out this roster heading towards September, 90 days until the home opener, It's going to be an interesting 90 days.
I think what is interesting about this report is, you know, why on July 4th as opposed to on July 1st? Like, and I know people are going to look at this and say, well, they just signed Kerfoot today, and they just signed CeCe, and they've signed Janssen and Kapanen, and do they have as much room as they did 2 or 3 days ago? I'm not concerned about their cap situation. The Leafs have the money to sign Mitch Marner. They're well aware of Mitch Marner's demands and what they've got a ballpark. I think they've got a ballpark.
They have to.
At some point where he's going to come in. So they haven't misspent their money and put themselves in a precarious position here where they can't find the money to work out a deal not involving a third party, just between themselves and the Marner camp. But I think what's going to be interesting about this is the fact that Pagnotta points out there's at least one team. Who is that team? Who would that team be in the shadows? Because only one team in the past six years has offered up an offer sheet. And it's the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
And they got rejected. So they're back at the table. They've got their picks. They've got money.
Could Marc Bergevin be the guy?
Could it be the Montreal Canadiens?
Wouldn't it be delicious?
Well,
if the ancient rivals from La Belle Province.
If
were
Mitch
the ones.
Marner, I would give him credit for the stones. If he's got the stones to sign an offer sheet with the biggest rival of his current team, good for him. But I would suggest if he ever plans on playing here again, call up a public relations company and get some advice.
Ask about the implications.
Yes, because I don't think that would go over so well. If it's Anaheim that does it, you'd be like, no, maybe you just wanted to force the hand like Aho did with Carolina. If it's Montreal, that's putting your stake in the ground, man.
You're right, because there is a transaction where you can say, it's just business. I was just forcing their hand.
Right.
But it's not just business when it's the Montreal Canadiens.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline from ESPN NBA analyst, here is Amin El-Hassan. What's happening, Amin?
What's going on, gentlemen? Kawhi Watts is well into day four now, and we've all given up. We just think he's going to hang out for the year.
You're feeling defeated at this point.
You know, it's funny because I got to interview his college coach, Steve Fisher, a couple of months ago. And when I asked him how they got him to San Diego State, he said, honestly, if it was up to Kawhi, we'd still be sitting trying to make the decision right now to where to go to college. So as soon as we started free agency, we knew we didn't hear anything at the beginning. I was like, oh, this is going to happen. And so yesterday, there's a reporter from the San Diego area who tweeted out a nice story. He said the San Diego State coach staff didn't know for sure that he was coming until he showed up for the first day of summer classes. So this is a guy who takes his time.
Well, I mean, no one really knows what Kawhi's all about, like what his priorities are, what his personality's like behind the scenes. Like, I've never gotten the read from him that he's indecisive, right? Like, but that's what would be suggested here. Like, he's just indecisive.
Yeah, he's just. I guess he's a guy who takes his time when making a big decision.
Right.
And he's not, hurried by other, you know, outside influences the way a lot of these other players were. Because, to be honest, a lot of these other players had to make a decision quick to make sure that their preferred teammates or their preferred situations played out the way they wanted it to. Whereas Kawhi Leonard is kind of like, I got two finals MVPs. I'll be good wherever I land.
Right.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, Amin, when you look at this decision, Hayes and I were batting this around. I mean, could it be that one of the hangups here is weighing the idea of security, you know, the 5-year deal you could sign in Toronto if you wanted to max it out, or a 4-year deal you could sign in either of the LA destinations, versus the idea of maybe maximizing the dollar and signing that 1+1, 1 year plus a player option for a second year to walk yourself into that 10-year veteran supermax where you get 35% of the salary cap? How much do you think he might be weighing, you know, knowing he's had this knee problem, watching Kevin Durant rupture his Achilles and Klay Thompson rupture his ACL? How much do you think he's wondering, how much do I want to risk here in this deal?
Well, I mean, I think any responsible decision of this magnitude has to include thinking about Kevin Durant, thinking about DeMarcus Cousins, thinking about Isaiah Thomas. The three players who were top of the game and then have suffered disastrous injuries. And in two of those cases, those guys haven't been able to successfully monetize their abilities afterwards. So it's definitely like a conversation to be had. Now, if you're quiet, there's a middle ground. You could sign a 3-year deal, a 2+1, and then that'll get you to the 10-year vet level and still give you a little bit of security there. But ultimately, I mean, I think that's the conversation. It's between that and the other conversation, which is I know the Toronto Raptors. I know the general manager. I know the caliber of the president of the organization. I know the coach. I know my teammates. I know the system we're running. Everything. There are no question marks. Everything, can we do this again? In either the L.A. situations, there are question marks. How am I going to fit? Am I going to like it there? Am I going to like my teammates? Am I going to like my coach? And in the case of the Lakers, there's a lot of question marks. Who am I going to play with other than LeBron and AD? So there's the financial decision, and there's also the fit decision that he's got to make and he's probably thinking about.
With Amin El-Hassan from ESPN. So we all know Kawhi's the main character in this story, in this movie. But who do you think is the most important supporting character? Would it be Masai Ujiri, LeBron James, Doc Rivers? You know, who do you circle and say, man, that guy's got what it's going to take here to sell Kawhi Leonard?
Drake. But the honest answer is whatever team he lands on, that we'll know who it is. You just named all the characters, all the side characters. LeBron and Magic, I would say, for the Lakers, for the Clippers, it would be Doc Rivers, and it would be Steve Ballmer to some extent. And in Toronto, it's Masai, Nick Nurse, and Bobby Marks, the general manager. Like, these are the guys that when they picked them up, they said definitely he's going to be the best player in the league, right? They picked him up a summer ago before he'd even played a game, said, you are the best player in the NBA. And so that right there is what we're looking at. We're looking at those characters. But I say half jokingly, maybe Drake does have a bigger influence on this than we thought.
Well, I mean, depending on whose report you want to listen to or you know, accept at face value, Drake is a guy. It's difficult to get a read on, even up in Toronto. I can't even imagine what people, you know, outside of Toronto think about his role up here, because he's been labeled the, you know, global ambassador, whatever the hell that means. And he sits courtside and he's, you know, he gets into the game and he's a motivated fan. But he's a man of power. I mean, there's no doubt. And they take it seriously. Like, Masai takes his role seriously, Drake.
Well, I mean, this is how you know how serious he is in that organization. The practice facility is named after his company.
Right.
I mean, that's not small mistake. Like, we can talk about Spike Lee and Jack Nicholson and all those guys, but at the end of the day, those guys were season ticket holders. They pay their money, they show up, they drink a beer, they root for the team, they go home. This dude is in free agent meetings. This dude has like I said, the practice facility named after him. They've got jerseys that are his design, of his color scheme. I mean, this is a level of involvement that goes way past the super fan. And I know it's funny, and it's fun to make jokes about him, and he massaged Nick Nurse's shoulders and all that, but he's a serious player. And the other thing is, and you know, I've had the privilege to be kind of involved on the music side with my family members. These young players listen to these guys. It sounds silly to us, but they listen to Drake. They listen to J. Cole. They listen. I don't want to say listen to them as in listen to the music. They listen to them. They lean on them for advice. How do I go through this? How do I handle that? And so we may sit here and scoff because Drake is a little bit of a mascot and he shot the air balls at Kentucky and any team he's rooted for always lost. That's all fun and games, but the reality is when he requests a meeting and sits down with these guys, they're listening to him earnestly. Like, this is a guy I need to pay attention to.
Yeah, and when he requests the meeting, he's getting the meeting. He's like,
oh, he's absolutely getting,
you know, it. Now, Drake's not going to leak or whatever or do anything like that, but everyone's wondering who can get to Kawhi Leonard. I'm pretty sure Drake can get in contact with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to get in contact, but, you know, as far as leaks go, that's the other interesting part about this, right? Like, we all know that Kawhi's a very private person, and his circle, him, his uncle, his mother, they very much value privacy and trust, right? And so when all these other free agent discussions we've heard, people couldn't wait to leak. Ooh, we're in the front runners. Ooh, this happened. Ooh, we had a great meeting. And in this case, he's managed for the most part to get all three teams to be pretty silent, which, again, is stunning when you think about it.
So, I mean, you've been obviously in an NBA front office. If you were on the agent side of this business and you happen to be representing Kawhi, I mean, where would you be pushing him to go? Would you have a take on what's best for him in this moment?
Well, you know, like, I think there's a conversation. Again, it's going back to what we said about the money. Do you want the five-year security? Do you want to gamble a little and see how much money we can make in a couple of years? That's one conversation. The other conversation is, you know, what do you want, right? I think if you want to win and sustain success and know that you're in a great situation, it's Toronto. If you want to take a chance because you want to move closer to home, but you want some of those stability kind of markers that we see in Toronto to be somewhere else, I would say it's the Clippers. If you're just trying to maximize your exposure and be the biggest name possible, then it's the Lakers. And ultimately, you know, that's his decision. That's not something that any other player or any other agent or family member can make for him. He's got to make it on his own.
Great stuff as always. I mean, we always appreciate you finding time, especially on a holiday down there. Thank you for this.
No problem, guys. There was no holiday for me. I worked, and now I'm on my way to Vegas.
All right, man. Go enjoy yourself down there. There's Amin El-Hassan from ESPN joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Red Tag Days are back. Purchase any new vehicle and get a $500 gift certificate to Appliance Canada, plus get rates from 0%. Visit MapleToyota.com.
Well, speaking of Drake, did you see good folks at BlogTO put out a post about one of Drake's alleged friends, an artist named Preem, formerly known as P. Rain.
Okay.
And apparently he has put on an Instagram story that Kawhi signs with the Raptors. You heard it here first. And that's only being legitimized because apparently Preem, or P. Rain formerly, is apparently a friend of Drake's. Allegedly.
Okay. The problem with that is you can counter that with, like, the guy who was on The Bachelor who lives in San Diego who claims he's going to the Clippers.
Yes.
You know, because he's buddies with someone who's buddies with Kawhi Leonard. Now, I think someone connected to Drake as opposed to a Bachelor contestant probably holds a little bit more sway and a little bit more weight in their words or their Instagram post in this particular case. But
now, you know,
how are you supposed to know?
I mean,
that's the amazing thing about this process, and it truly has been fascinating. Like, this should be a 30 for 30. Not even what Kawhi's up to, how the world has reacted to Kawhi Watch, because we have been completely shut out. So which report people are choosing to legitimize? Is it Chris Broussard? I can't do it, just based on his history and the details he's handing out via tweet. It's as if he's in the room and he's not in the room. But still, if that's what you want to hear, if you're a Laker fan, you're like, Chris Broussard knows what he's talking about here. Chris Carter's been all over it. Now, there's a connection between Carter and the Kawhi camp. He's been reporting what he's hearing. Then you've got beat reporters down in San Antonio who had a connection with Kawhi Leonard. So what, are we supposed to believe that report? I don't know. And then the funny thing is, like, people in Toronto and in L.A. in particular are not the ones that are really pumping all this stuff out. It's Jalen Rose. It's Chris Broussard. It's Chris Carter. It's talking heads, basically. Like, it's not Woj.
It's not
Shams.
It's not reporters.
Exactly. It's not the reporters connected to the Raptors, the Lakers, or the Clippers either.
Exactly. No, I mean, I get a kick out of this stuff. I mean, a friend of Drake says Kawhi's staying here. I mean, that's worth, you know, whatever you think it's worth. You put it well. Like, if you want to believe it, you go ahead and believe it. But we can tell you that nobody's reporting that because it hasn't been verified.
But I will read anything right now.
Yes.
Anything. Like, I can't recall the last time. I mean, there's a little bit of deja vu last year with Tavares. You know, on July 1st, I remember I was up north at the cottage, and I was at my father-in-law's place, and I was constantly like, okay, I got to get back inside and check out what's going on.
Right.
Because I had a feeling an answer was coming that day. I didn't know it was going to be the Maple Leafs necessarily, but I was waiting on it. This is extended. You know, we're talking 5 days here. And this guy flew into Toronto over 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
Like, I was bracing myself for last night, something happening, if not this morning. And now it doesn't sound like anything's going to happen today either. So we roll it over to tomorrow. And yet, even if Kawhi Leonard were to come out right now on a ledge in Yorkville and say, I'm telling you, I'm not making a decision tonight. I will be at home refreshing my Twitter account tonight.
Yeah.
Because I want to see the lunacy of it all. I want to see if someone claims that they've got a scoop through a third party who knew Kawhi when he was a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are, we've lost our minds.
Totally.
We've lost our minds, but I think people in Toronto appreciate it that much more. I think Raptors fans and Clippers fans, they're nervous, but I think they appreciate that they're a part of the dance.
Oh, yeah.
Laker fans are spoiled. Like, LeBron just came there last year.
Exactly.
They just acquired Anthony Davis.
They just expect him to come.
Exactly. So I don't think they are approaching it the same way Raptors fans and Clipper fans are, where they just appreciate that we're a part of the dance.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Like, the fact that the Raptors are in pursuit of the most sought-after free agent in the NBA is actually a shocking development.
It is. I mean, you've got the sports world trained on your city yesterday. I mean, you had the entire U.S. sports media conglomerate absolutely riveted to Kawhi watch. They were begging to get CP24 down there. People wanted the live shots.
That was hysterical.
Wasn't that?
Like, media members in the States complaining that they don't get Canadian teams. The irony.
Isn't that funny?
Like, get the cash man on commercials down there in the States already.
Seriously, the cash man had an opportunity right there. He could have gone global.
Come on, man. People want access to Canadian TV. It's a national or an international phenomenon.
Seriously, man.
So, anyway. Well, we're tracking Kawhi watch, Aaron Sanchez watch, Mitch Marner offer sheet watch.
Well, and look, I'm a big believer. I love the mean story about the folks at San Diego State saying, we didn't know if Kawhi was coming until he showed up for summer class.
But what does that mean? Like, does that mean, again, is he indecisive, or is he literally like, I'm on nobody's schedule and I don't care enough right now?
I think,
like, I got to think he cares.
Oh, he cares. You see how he operates on the floor. You know he cares.
Right. So, you know, and there's a part of me, again, the human element of this. Don't you want to put this behind you? The pressure of the world. Everyone's watching you.
Wow.
Don't you want that?
What's
behind
the pressure
you?
For him, though? He goes about his business. Well, he's not bothered. He knows he's getting paid.
He is, but he's letting people down at some point.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's letting people down.
See, I think there's a certain cold-bloodedness to that, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Where he's not going to cry from a side of Jerry.
Nor should he. It's his life.
He's not going to cry for Jerry West and the Clippers. He's not going to cry for Jeannie Buss.
In L.A., it's not about the Lakers or the Clippers. It's about, you know, his sister. It's about the cousins.
Yeah.
It's about them who they've been like, I thought the plan was to come home. We've been waiting for you. Now you're telling me you're not coming home?
Right.
That's real life stuff. Like, that's real life pressure. Right.
I wonder how much that plays in, because you certainly get the sense that from that anecdote from Amin Al-Hassan, from many other anecdotes, that this isn't a guy who particularly cares about how his decisions are going to affect anybody but himself, which is fair. It's the way you got to operate in this universe.
Right.
It's about
what's
best for
you. He's the, you know, and it's not like if you're in Toronto, you're not living an incredible lifestyle.
Well, and as you pointed out earlier,
it's an amazing city.
It's like, it's not like he's never going back to L.A. If he doesn't go to play for the Lakers or the Clippers in this particular moment, he's still got the house in Rancho Santa Fe up next to Phil Mickelson. He's still going to be in L.A. 3-4 months a year. He still pops in there twice a year if he's playing in the Eastern Conference to play the Lakers and the Clippers.
Yeah, the bye
still
week.
Got the whatever the All-Star game can be in that area if he's not playing in it. As you said, the bye week. So it's not as though you're a stranger.
No, of course not. Like, the reality is, let's say he signs in Toronto tonight or tomorrow. He's flying back to L.A. on
the
weekend.
Exactly.
And he'll be like, I'll be back in Toronto on September 15th.
Exactly.
See you later.
And so he's home when he wants to be home.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Hopefully something happens between now and, selfishly, tomorrow afternoon, because I'm off next week. If this pushes into the weekend, which would be typical for me. I always end up missing out on the biggest stories.
You've made that point a few times.
Yeah, it's kind of par for the course.
Don't make it about you. Let's make it about J-Lew.
Right.
I feel bad for J-Lew. He's camped out on the couch here getting some sleep because he's supposed to be on 24-hour Kawhi watch for SportsCenter.
At some point, let him go home.
Let J-Lew go.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So the home run derby coming up in a few days, and Vladdy Guerrero Jr., an 8 seed, and a lot of people pointing out, well, he's only got 8 home runs, but not a real event. Like, it's about getting stars and big names, and Vlady Guerrero Jr. would be one of them. And he's got Christian Yelich in the first round. I feel pretty good about Vladdy.
Do you?
Very good about Vladdy. But Yelich, that race for the NL MVP, it's, man, this kind, this is going to feel like Trout versus Cabrera a number of years ago. Remember Cabrera won the Triple Crown and he ended up winning the MVP?
It was eye test versus analytics.
Yeah. Now, I mean, both of them match up here, but Bellinger, like Cody Bellinger, the numbers that this guy is putting up are absurd.
Crazy.
Like, absurd. But Yelich is having a better year than he had a year ago, and he won the MVP a year ago.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to hit, he might hit 60 home runs.
Got 31 right now.
So, you know, there's a part of me, it was kind of like the debate last year with the Cy Young in the National League, where, you know, DeGrom, his numbers were, like, off the charts.
Crazy.
And the amount of games he had where he gave up, like, I think it was two or fewer earned runs, like, setting records. But Scherzer, I put a lot of stock in the fact that he keeps going.
Yes.
Like, consistency. And I know it's an individual season award. I get it.
Supposed to be.
It's supposed to be. But the fact that if you're a stud year after year and you've been consistently the best player at your position and you're better that year.
There's something to be said for that.
There's something to be said for that.
That's got to factor in, even though it's a one-year award.
Yeah. And that applies to Scherzer. I mean, Yelich is not the best player in baseball. It's Trout.
Trout by a mile.
Like, Trout, it's not
Trout
even
every
close.
Year. Trout in the landslide.
Yeah. Like, again, the Angels are going to do it to him again.
Yeah.
They're not making the playoffs.
No.
But Trout is going to win the MVP.
It's such a shame.
But he re-upped.
I know. I don't get it.
He, like, I Mike Trout decided.
I don't understand it.
Low-key, L.A. Like, I get that, man. Living in California and all that. But someone
Orange
else
County.
Would pay
Orange
you the
County's
money.
Orange County's gorgeous. It's a beautiful place to live. I mean, most places are really nice to live if you got a lot of money.
Right. And in
that's
summer,
a particularly nice place to live if you got a lot of money.
Yeah.
But still, man, like, you really have to be naive to believe that they're ever going to turn that thing around in Anaheim. And I just don't get the makeup of a guy that kind of consigns himself to that.
He's been to the playoffs once.
That's what I mean. He's been to the playoffs once. He's the best player in the game by a mile. And he doesn't have a hankering to get there more often, to get there annually, to find a way to steer his career to a franchise that will offer him the possibility of getting there now and then. Because right now, I don't see that with the Angels.
No, the Angels, every year it's the same story.
Yeah.
Every year. Like, let me find them here. They are, yeah, they're game over 500. Like, they're not a bad team. They're never an awful team.
Well, that's the thing.
But they're never a good team.
So they always have that. They always have that. Plausible
they're
argument that they're going to be okay.
Right.
If this happens, if this guy performs, then we could be good. And I guess Trout being an optimist, because you have to be an optimist to be that good, probably says, okay, we're going to be good. I believe we can be good. I believe I can carry this team. But for people who love the game, for people who want to see the best players in the biggest moments, it's, you know, it could turn into one of those careers that you just shake your head at.
Well, he's been in the playoffs, I believe, only once.
Once.
And lost in the ALDS.
Yeah.
Now, that ownership, they spend money. You know, they did spend, obviously, the Pujols contract. They went out, they got Ohtani.
Oh, like, yeah.
That was a big get.
Yeah.
You know, and Shohei Ohtani, because he's not pitching and the Tommy John, you know, he's not creating nearly as much buzz because he's not a dual threat right now. But at some point, you know, for the just for the fans and for the game, you got to get Mike Trout. You got to get him a ring.
You got
it. Like, it's funny how leagues, you know, it's different in each league. Like, in the NBA, that's the obsession. You got to get a ring. If you want to be considered an all-time great, you've got to get a ring. You got to get multiple rings.
Yeah.
Like, Kevin Durant said, forget it. I got to go to Golden State. I got to get rings.
For sure.
I got to get rings. Like, I can't be considered an all-time great unless I get rings. You know, baseball, that doesn't apply. Now, the sport is totally different.
It's totally
different. Makeup is totally different. The impact of an individual player, totally different. You know, the caste system in baseball, very different, but it doesn't really apply. I think it applies more in hockey than it does in baseball.
Yeah.
I think you got to get a cup. Like, Ovechkin had to get a cup.
For sure you do.
In football, I think if you're a star quarterback, you got to get a Super Bowl.
Yes, you do. That's how they measure. Ultimately, if you want to be in that upper echelon of all-time greats, you're going to have to be measured by your rings.
Like Marino, it always comes up.
Yeah, it has to.
Now, everyone knows Marino's stats and his resume and how great he was, but He's not going to be with Brady in Montana because he never won a ring.
No, you get dropped out of the conversation at a certain point.
Yeah.
Because of that. But with this, too, like, and we're living through this era, Hayes, where we're watching the regular season in every sport becoming less and less compelling, right? We just watched the Kawhi Leonard make a mockery of the 82 games of the regular season, call them practice.
Right.
You know, and I know baseball is like a lifestyle, and there are people who watch their team play 162 or listen with one ear on the radio for at least the majority of those 162. And if you're following a good team that's in a pennant race, you know, that's fun. We've all done it in this town, you know. But, you know, if you're just a fan of the game, you want to see great players, there's nothing better than the stage that is playoff baseball, right? Where every pitch matters and those games are riveting. And so we're missing something if we don't see the guy who is the preeminent practitioner of the craft.
Yeah.
Ever get into those situations.
Oh, it's an injustice.
It's an injustice.
It's a complete injustice. It's a sports injustice. It would be totally unfair. But he made his bed. You know, he decided
that's,
to
re-up.
And
that's the thing that just
you
bothers me.
You can't forget
me.
That. Like, he decided to take the long-term deal. He's going to retire with the Angels. And he's putting faith that that ownership and the management are going to find a way to put enough around him. Because, you know, he's pulling his weight.
That's what
I mean. No one's going to supply more wins above replacement than Mike Trout.
And at what point, like, I guess he could always force his way out at a certain point if he needs to. But it doesn't seem like he's that kind of guy for some reason.
I don't get that impression at all.
As driven as he must be as an athlete to be this good, he doesn't seem to be particularly driven to influence that club. At least we don't hear about it.
He's a lot like Kawhi now.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't get a read on Mike Trout.
No, you don't seem to be able to.
I don't know what his personal life's all about.
No.
You know, I don't know what he's interested in. I don't even know where he's from.
That's a good point.
You know, like,
he's a Jersey guy.
Yeah. Yes, because of the Philly connection.
Yes.
And that came up when Harper was and this idea that they were going to go get him. Yes, he's from Jersey, like the Philly part of Jersey, if that makes sense. But I don't know anything about Mike Trout.
No, you don't hear much in terms of his frustration or lack thereof with the Angels' inability to compete. And maybe it's just as simple as there's a lot of teams in baseball that can start a spring with optimism and say, we're going to be good this year. And if you got to buy in if you're a player, because you got to hope.
You got to grind
faith
coming
in
up,
the guys,
man.
And you got to have faith in the guys that are around you that they're going to be able to perform. And you got to encourage them to perform when you're the leader of the team.
Right.
But how many times do you got to get disappointed before you start to say, hey, maybe I got to change location?
Not going to work here.
Anyway. Home Run Derby on Monday.
Yeah, so I watch it anyway.
I always watch it.
I always watch the Home Run Derby.
I love the Derby.
I don't make excuses for watching the Derby. It's fun. It's entertaining.
I find it fun. I know I've heard so many people crap on it, and I'm always like,
well, it used
to be
Berman that would get goofed on with the back. I didn't have a problem with that. Like, I love Chris Berman. I've always loved the boom.
Same here.
You know, he's not a part of the broadcast anymore. I don't know who. Is it Shambi that does it now?
I think it is Shambi.
Yeah, so, you know, ESPN, they put forth a good product. And,
yeah.
You know, the players are out there having fun. It's completely harmless. But I'm that much more invested because of Vladdy.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I just want to see Vladdy launch balls. And I love the fact that even though it's a completely contrived event and meaningless event, now he's an underdog. He's an 8 seed.
Yeah.
He's going up against Yelich, who is probably going to hit, you know, he might pass Roger Maris this year for home runs.
Exactly. He's on pace, too.
He's on pace to get 61 or 62.
I think it's great. I mean, and this is a kid, too. Everything we've seen up to this point with this young
lad. He'll be a showman there.
He's a showman. This is a moment he's going to enjoy. This is a moment where I wouldn't want to be Yelich because I think you're ripe to get knocked off by this young guy.
I think so, too.
I mean, this guy looks like he's going to absolutely love being on that stage in that moment.
He will be in there, no helmet. He will be turning on baseballs. Launching them to outer space, and I look forward to it.
It's going
to
be a good one, man. I think it'll be, let's face it, it might not be Vince Carter at the slam dunk contest in 2000 as like an arrival moment, but I wouldn't bet against it.
No,
I wouldn't
neither.
Bet against
I
it.
I think if he wins it, it'll be, you know, he put his name was on a map anyway because of his name.
Yeah.
He's a Guerrero. So everyone's known about Junior for a long time. Everyone saw the pictures when, you know, he's in Montreal and all that kind of stuff. And he's been so highly touted. You're the number one prospect in baseball. Your name's going to ring out. But he's playing on such a bad team. He had such a bad start when he got up here.
Yes.
You know, he's figured it out, and his numbers by the end of the year, I think, are going to be pretty solid.
For sure.
And I haven't adjusted my expectations for his career at all.
No.
I expect he competes for batting titles and MVPs, and I think he's going to be a great, great player, superstar player. But this is the moment for him this year.
Yeah.
He's not going to have big ABs in September.
No.
No one's going to be, you know, ESPN's not going to live shots of him, you know, in the batter's box in late August into September. This is it on Monday night.
Exactly.
And I think if you're a Blue Jay fan, it has not been an overly positive season. Take advantage of whatever you can. And this will be an opportunity on Monday night.
This, like, yeah. And for the franchise, hey.
Oh, you're selling it.
Capitalize like hell.
Yes.
Because this might be the last thing you can sell.
Well, how about the uproar out of Montreal that the Washington Nationals are going to wear the Expos uniforms on Saturday?
Love it.
And Max Scherzer, I guess he was doing a bullpen session yesterday or whatever, and he was wearing the uniform. I don't know why he would wear the uniform. Maybe, I don't know why you got to get used to it. It's a uniform.
Gotta break it in.
It must have been for a promotional shoot or something. Like, that's got to be, like, Scherzer is the face of the Nationals. And
yeah.
This is about making money. You know they're going to be selling these. I got to think they're going to be selling these. Like, don't you think in Washington?
That's the idea.
Like, they're such beautiful uniforms.
They're great.
They really are.
They're the best.
They are, like, the Expos unis and the Hartford Whalers uniforms might be the two greatest unis in North American sports history.
Yeah, two of the great logos.
And they're extinct. Like, it's a shame.
It totally is. It totally is. And it's surprising, given how, you know, opportunistic the capitalists happen to be in baseball, that this is the first time they've done it.
Yeah.
Because that's a gold mine. Like, that jersey, that hat, that Expos hat has been a cult favorite. Like, every ballpark you go to, there's always somebody wearing one, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And there's the hipsters, you know, with the beards and the tattoos are wearing them to this day. And you got to imagine that people in Washington will be absolutely buying them in quantity.
Yeah. I think I'm curious to see what the numbers are going to be in Montreal. Because people, I don't think they're going to buy a Scherzer jersey. But I think, you know, I'm sure they're still buying Expos gears if they can. You know, would you be buying, like, Vladdy Sr., Tim Raines, you know, old school stuff. If you have that ability, I don't see why you wouldn't.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're still your team, even though they moved on over a decade ago. We'll get back into this report, David Pagnotta of the fourth period, about maybe a team lurking in the NHL with an offer sheet from Mitch Marner. Kawhi Watch continues. We're touching on that. Dave Feshchuk's in here from the Star. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Mark Berman will join us from the New York Post in about 20 minutes. The report came out last night that the Knicks actually rescinded the offer to Kawhi Leonard for a meet and greet.
Did they?
Apparently. Now, again, I'm not quite convinced of that necessarily, but I will say this. You know, there are a lot of different things to carve the Knicks about. Having self-awareness, if that's what this is something I'm actually going to support. And I'm going to promote that I think that's probably wise, because they know, as much as everybody else knows, they're not signing Kawhi Leonard. He's not going to the Knicks.
Well, they did, Hayes. Let's run it back a minute here. They did trade their best player to open up salary cap room that they now cannot use.
Yes.
Because no one wants to come New York.
But it's one thing, a formality, hey, thank you for pitying us enough to take the meeting. Do you really think the Knicks felt like they could sign Kawhi Leonard? I don't. They know he's not going to New York.
Oh, you heard rumblings that one of the reasons they might get a meeting is because Uncle Dennis lives in the neighborhood.
So I'm not going to burn them for this. I'm not going to crush them for this. If they actually were like, we're wasting time here. We're going to look at other stuff. We know you're not going to sign with us, because he's not going to sign with them.
Right.
So I don't have as big of a problem with that.
But it does sound like revisionist history that's very driven to making them look good in a market where they're getting absolutely pummeled.
Yes. But how would this help? I don't think this helps them in New York. I think in New York they're going to be like, why didn't you at least take the meeting?
Well, I think it helps them by
take a swing.
It helps them by at least presenting a front that they actually had a plan. Because right now it looks like their plan's in shambles, and whatever plan they had, whatever assurances they felt they had to sign star players, and I'm using air quotes on stars because we know what can pass for a star at Madison Square Garden sometimes, and it's not always the real article. they're an absolute joke right now. They're a laughingstock. They traded Kristaps Porzingis to open up salary cap room that they now cannot use.
Right. Listen, the Knicks are a debacle. They're a joke. They're a mess. But that was long before a potential meeting with Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
And that wasn't going to end after a meeting with Kawhi Leonard. Because, yes, they opened all up. They opened up the space, but I don't think Kawhi was ever a guy that they were linking to that space. It was Durant, it was Kyrie Irving, it was potentially Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
You know, those were the guys. And they went to New York, but they did not go to Manhattan. They went to Brooklyn.
Think about that.
That is crushing.
They went to Brooklyn.
Yes. So we'll catch up with Mark Berman in about 15 minutes. We read this tweet earlier, David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period reporting that, you know, there's a lot of chatter out there that there could be at least one team seriously considering an offer sheet for Mitch Marner. It's unclear if it happens, and of course Marner would have to sign it. You know, there's anxiety in the marketplace right now to begin with because of Kawhi Leonard. You know, that's sucking up a lot of the oxygen, but at the end of the day, Mitch Marner still doesn't have his deal done yet either. But I kind of felt like we were beyond this phase after we got through July 1st.
Yeah.
Like, we kept talking about the idea of an offer sheet and the reality of it applying with Mitch Marner. If it happened on July 1st, I would have been surprised. I wouldn't have been shocked because we had been warned and we had been prepared. But we're 3-4 days beyond that, and we're still talking about an offer sheet? Is that because the Leafs feel like they have leverage now because the offer sheet didn't take place?
Oh, yeah.
Like, is that where this is coming from? The Marner camp's like, we got to throw this offer sheet back on the table because the Leafs feel like now they hold all the cards.
Bingo.
I think that would make sense.
That makes a lot of sense because, look, I mean, what was the point of leverage the entire time? Time was ticking. We heard from Kyle Dubas as the season ended that priority number one was to sign Mitch Marner and to not let this thing become a protracted negotiation a la the William Nylander situation. And what was the point of leverage that the Marner camp wanted to use to maximize their return? It was the threat of the offer sheet. It was July 1, and now we're past that. So guess what? Yeah, the leverage has swung.
Yeah.
The leverage has swung in the Leafs' favor. And Kyle Dubas does look like he holds more cards at this particular moment, unless
that threat is still out
there. The threat is
still out
there.
Somewhere in the shadows, there's a team that's seriously considering it. We don't know which team it is. We've never known. No one's been able to connect a team. Like, people were looking at throwing Lou Lamoriello out there because why?
The revenge offer sheet.
Exactly, for revenge, which was never a reality. There is not a more pro-league, pro-Gary Bettman GM in the history of the league than Lou Lamoriello. You think he's going to ruffle the feathers of the league by throwing a player a bone? Never.
And you think Lou Lamoriello? You think Lou Lamoriello is going to publicly acknowledge, which is what that offer sheet would be, that his feelings were hurt by Kyle Dubas getting this job over him? You think he's going to publicly make that kind of a play to get back at a team that didn't want him to be their general manager anymore? I don't think that's the way Lou Lamoriello has ever operated.
Now, again, we don't even know which team we're talking about here. Maybe there's multiple teams, or what the actual parameters of the contract would look like. Like, I could understand it from Marner's camp if they were looking at what happened with Aho, where it was almost as if, hey, can you throw us a bone, Montreal? Let's get this done so I don't have to worry about negotiating anymore.
It's like a favor to an agent.
Basically. Yeah. And I think the Leafs would love that.
Yeah.
If it was a 5-year deal at 9.5, they'd be like, done, let's sign it.
Let's take it.
Now, we don't love that you get 5 years and Matthews gets 5 years and Nylander's got 5 years left on his deal. That would not be ideal, but that's 5 years down the road.
That could be another general manager's problem.
You can figure that out down the road.
Kyle Dubas can hope he'll be running the team
right
at that point.
But if it's a poison pill type of maneuver, 1 year, $14 million. If that's the case and it gets signed, that's effectively a trade demand.
That's a good
how
point.
I would read it.
That's,
you know,
exactly how you'd have to
you're
read
just
it.
Just trying to tie the hands of the Leafs.
No, we'll that's an act of war. That's an act of war.
It's an act of war. Dave Festruck's in here from the Star. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.